Welcome to the STEM Dreams podcast. Here at STEM Dreams, we are all about making sure STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math is accessible to all people, regardless of what you look like and what your zip code is. Hi, I'm Linda Hargrove, and I'm an engineer, and I'm here with my husband and co-host, also an engineer, Dr. Claude Hargrove. Say hello, Claude.
Hello.
Now, this podcast, I am interviewing an individual that also has a podcast. His name is Neil Thompson. Before we get to that interview, I wanted to ask you, Claude, about role models. I believe we've talked about this a lot, or at least once or twice on other podcast episodes. But yeah, I think it bears just digging a little deeper into this subject, because I keep hearing stuff about how your role model should look like you. I mean, and I think there's even a commercial on some about some NFL players with kids and STEM or something. I don't know. But the commercial made it seem like if you were Black, you had to have Black role models. So I wanted to unpack that a little bit more. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, that's kind of a challenge. If you use the analogy of football, there are many football coaches that are inspiring others of color to be in the coaching field. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they sort of have these group of guys sort of like their coaches or their staff. And many of them aspire to be coaches themselves. Mm-hmm. And those who are trying to change the culture or the norm, they have people who are different than they are. So you have coaches under what they call a coaching tree. And those who started out, that lead coach, that name coach, we use the coach for Kansas City. He's a white man, but yet he has coaches under him that are of Hispanic descent or Black descent. And so they recognize that coaching tree. So I disagree in terms of who you're trying to impact.
All right. Well, thank you for unpacking that for me, Claude, and just examining that a little bit closer. So now we'll go to my interview with Neil, and then afterward, we will come back and wrap up. Thank you for joining us today. My guest, Neil Thompson, has a couple of things he wants to share with us. One of them is his book, Ask Uncle Neil, Why Is My Hair Curly?, which is a very enticing title. And we'll get to that in a minute. The other thing he wants to share is some information about his podcast, Teach the Geek Podcast, which that's kind of a compelling title as well. Before I give you a chance to tell me how you came up with that name, let's unpack the word geek. Some people don't have a good connotation of that title. What is your definition of geek?
Really, it's just somebody who's very passionate about a particular topic. And you're right. There, for quite some time, there was a negative connotation with the word geek, but I think we're reclaiming the word. So it's one of those things. It's not as negative of a connotation, I suppose, as it was in the past. So it's cool now to be a geek, actually.
Yeah, well, that's good. Because when I was a kid in high school, yeah, they would bully me and call me a geek. So I am glad that, and I've noticed that too, that people have kind of reclaimed it and put a positive spin on it. And I am very happy about that. On your LinkedIn profile, you are a self-proclaimed teacher of geeks. Tell me how you came up with that name and the whole podcast idea.
It actually stemmed from when I worked in medical devices as an engineer. I had to give presentations every month in front of senior management, and I was terrible at those presentations, at least at first. And I noticed that a lot of the other engineers weren't that much better at it than I was. I think the main issue that a lot of us had is we have all this technical expertise, and we found it difficult to convey that information to non-technical people, especially decision makers, which made up the majority of the senior management. But I saw the need to get better at it over time because I didn't want to look like a fool every time I had to give one of these presentations. And so I got a lot better at public speaking and just presenting over time. And I took everything that I learned and essentially turned it into an online course for scientists and engineers like myself called Teach the Geeks to Speak. So that's essentially where the Teacher of Geeks thing comes from. And then the YouTube channel and podcast, that really is me speaking with engineers and scientists who also see the benefit of public speaking. And we talk about their public speaking journey, what they've done to get better at public speaking, offering tips to the listeners or the viewers on what they can do to become more effective in public speaking. And a secondary, I guess, goal that kind of came out of the YouTube channel and podcast, which I didn't see initially, is people that get degrees in science and engineering don't necessarily end up working in science and engineering, or maybe they did for a time and then they switched to something else. So it's really interesting to hear those stories of people who perhaps started in STEM and then branched off into something completely different. So finding out what was the motivation to go do something else, and perhaps what qualities of their STEM education or STEM work experience informs their current work. It's all very fascinating.
So I think it helps. And what you're doing is very helpful in letting people know, it's really okay. You studied to be an engineer. You worked, maybe you didn't work as an engineer at all, or scientists, or whatever fields you studied, but you made another choice, and that is all right. Because I think our training helps us in whatever we tend to work in, whether that's, say, for yourself, you worked in medical instruments, you said?
Medical devices.
Medical devices. I'm sure that training helps you not only kind of present information to people, but there's so many layers to it. It's so thorough, because I'm thinking, if you're doing medical devices, it requires you to be thorough. You're crossing every T, dotting every I, and that's, you bring that to everything that you do. Am I assuming too much about that?
No, not at all. You're absolutely right. Especially with medical devices, they are FDA regulated. So they're the process that you need to follow in order to develop and market medical devices in this country, in the US, and certainly in other countries as well. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Crossing I's you cross the T's and you dot the I's. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Something gets crossed, something gets dotted.
Yeah.
On my YouTube channel and podcast, I've had a number of people, actually most of them, if not all of them, were women who started off in either science or engineering and transitioned into something else. And the sense I get is more women than men tend to make that decision. And there are certain groups out there that are intent on finding out why. And I suspect that a number of them are, they make that decision because of the environments that they were in. They didn't think that they were all that welcoming or inclusive of women. But at least the ones that were on my YouTube channel, a lot of them, it was the reason they left is just because they found something else that they preferred to do. And the environment that they came from in engineering or science didn't play a factor in them leaving. It'd be really interesting to find out what kind of percentages there are of ones that leave more disgruntled because of the environment, or the ones that just left because they found something else they preferred to do.
That would be an interesting study. When I started kind of following you, I realized you're helping them develop a superpower, being able to talk technical. What do you think about that?
Well, I never really thought about it in terms of developing a superpower, but perhaps you're right. Engineers and scientists aren't exactly known for being the best in terms of effective public speaking. And I think that's a shame, because we have a lot of information and expertise and know-how to share with people. But I get the sense that a lot of us don't put enough stock in that. We're more concerned with our technical chops. But if you're not able to convey ideas or messages to people, especially decision makers, well, you can have all the ideas in the world, none of them will get implemented because the decision makers will say no. It's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. I think we're in a day and time now, and hopefully it won't last long, but that people reject science, reject math, and anything technical because it's been made out to be unreliable or unpredictable. And that's sad. part of it does kind of swing back to us as the technical people, the geeks, as you say, so that we can communicate that climate science or that mining the asteroids in a way that people can understand and appreciate it and bring it into their own vocabulary. So they have a lexicon that they can talk about, even if they didn't go to college, and they can appreciate that. That's something that we need to know about. We need to make decisions on and bring into our, you see what I'm saying? Because otherwise people are like, oh, that's just some mumbo jumbo. Junk science. I've heard that term so many times over the years in dealing with the public as, you know, a person in academia trying to communicate on an ninth grade level engineering topics. Well, how do you get past that? What are your tricks of the trade, Neil? How do you get past that barrier when people are like, ooh, science is bad and I don't even know that stuff?
But I think the number one rule of public speaking is to know your audience. Mm-hmm. It's also to meet them where they are. So you don't want to use a whole bunch of technical jargon that the layperson wouldn't understand to get your ideas across. You want to use more, you know, analogies and comparisons that the average person would understand to convey these technical ideas. And really, the people that know these ideas the best are the ones that are able to do that.
Mm-hmm. But the tricky thing is getting them to feel like they can. And I guess that's your job. That's your job, to feel like they can translate this highly technical topic down to the layperson so that they can understand it and appreciate the importance of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially when it comes to the technical presentations, you know, a lot of times, even in the instance where I was talking to senior management, at least in that instance, I was speaking to people that weren't technically minded. A lot of times I'm speaking to other technical people. And in those instances, you can use all those, the technical jargon, because they'll understand. But as I mentioned earlier, you got to know the audience that you're addressing. And when you do that, then you're better able to tailor your message to them so that they actually take it in and understand it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You have to know your audience, and not to talk down to them or water down your message, but to know, be able to read the room kind of thing and know how to communicate. Tell me about your journey to engineering. What drew you to it?
I used to lie about the reason I ended up in engineering, because I didn't think that the reason was all that interesting.
Because
a lot of the people that I ever hear answer that question, they have a pretty interesting story about it. Perhaps they were part of a robotics club when they were in high school, or maybe when they were a kid, they used to play with Legos. But I was never part of a robotics club. I never played with Legos. I wasn't even all that great at math and science. My father was the one that told me that I should study engineering, and that's why I did it.
Yeah, have you found out why he said that?
Well, I have two other sisters, and he wanted all of us to study something in STEM. And I think it was because of maybe the job stability.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was the reason. Mm-hmm.
That's good. That is really good. And your sisters, did they follow that advice?
Nope.
Well, one out of three, hey.
One out of three. Well, actually, that's not true. So I have a younger sister, and she studied biology, but she never worked in any STEM field. She's a project manager for a consultancy firm.
Okay. Well, still, I mean, when you look at biology, you've got math in that curriculum, you've got chemistry, you've got, of course, biology. And that's good for her. So where can our listeners find your Teach to Geek podcast?
For the podcast, they can go to youtube.teachthegeek.com. And then if they're interested in learning more about the course, they can go to teachthegeek.com.
Okay. Yeah, I'll put that in the show notes. Good. Good stuff. All right. Let's talk about this book. First, the title. Ask Uncle Neil suggests a series. So, will there be more?
The plan is for there to be more. Absolutely.
Cool. All right. And the first one is about your nephew's curly hair. What's the backstory there?
Well, I have a nephew, and he's a pretty inquisitive kid. He asks a whole bunch of questions. So when I got that question, I actually didn't know the answer, so I had to do a little bit of research into it. After doing that, I thought this could be an interesting topic for a book. The goal of me writing that book was to encourage more Black children to at least consider careers in STEM. Mm-hmm. And I used hair as the vehicle to do so. There are a number of books out there about Black hair, but they come from the perspective of learning to love your Black hair. But I was never going to write that book because I love my Black hair already. And I don't even have all that much Black hair in my hair on my head to love that, you know, these days. But the idea of asking the question why hair is the way it is, I thought was an interesting question. And then also an interesting direction to show Black children that there are no careers that are off limits to them. Because as I'm sure you know, Black people are underrepresented in the STEM fields. So it's not uncommon to be the only Black engineer at a place, or, you know, one of few. And I get the sense that for a lot of us, the roadblock we have in our mind is that STEM or engineering is for somebody else. It's not for us. And that's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. I wrote the book for ages 5 to 8 because I figure if they have the confidence then to know that there are no careers off limits to them, then it'll be a lot more difficult for any naysayers as they get older to push them off that path.
Mm-hmm. To start early. That's good. That was actually one of the other questions I was going to ask you. Why promote STEM to Black kids? And I mean, you pretty much answered that.
It's the future. I mean, innovation is the future, and there's no reason that Black people can't be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think, where did that myth start? I'm still trying to figure that out. What was the root of that?
I have no idea, Linda, because at least when I was a child, I learned about all the Black inventors that there are, and there's quite a number of them. And you would think, I mean, the gas mask, the traffic light, the golf tee, the ironing board, like all these things were invented by Black people. Even the Super Soaker water gun, which is I guess, pretty more recent, a Black man invented that. So there's precedent there of us embracing the technology of the time and the technology of the future. But at some point, I'm not sure, I can't really pinpoint when that was. It just seems like Black people just think that engineering, at least specifically, is for white people and Asians. And I don't think it has to be that way. And if you're a young person and you know from a young age that I could do whatever I want, there's not going to be, a teacher in high school that says maybe you shouldn't take that physics class because it's a difficult class. Maybe there won't be that. Or, and even if there is, you're going to ignore that person and continue doing what you want to do anyway.
I think something you touched on a few minutes ago is key. You mentioned that your father had a hand in kind of steering you. You chose engineering. One of your sisters chose biology. To me, that's STEM. It's a science. And that's key. If a parent knows about it and reinforces that in some shape or form, or even if it's them not saying, oh, girls don't do that, or boys don't, or Black kids don't, you know, they don't have the don't attitude or the don't speak. That's important for parents to be there for their kids. And another thing you said, you weren't really good at math, but yet you went into engineering. Yeah, so some people, that's a deal breaker.
Well, I went into engineering because my father said I should. So the fact that I wasn't good at math and science, I certainly wasn't the top tier student when I was in high school. In math and science, but I wasn't, you know, the bottom feeder either. I was just somewhere in the middle. But my father saw that there was he saw something in me that he thought that would be beneficial in going into engineering. And as I mentioned earlier, the job stability was probably a factor in him suggesting engineering too.
Yeah. And he wanted the best for you. So that's why he kind of pushed that. That's good. For me, my dad pushed math. Math literacy, math was big for him. He had no idea about STEM. STEM wasn't even an acronym back then. And I was like, well, if I want to work at my dad's company, I don't want to do what he does. But if I want to work there, then maybe I can be an engineer. It did not, I guess I was just clueless, Neil. I didn't think, well, I'm not white, I can't do that. I'm not male, I can't do that. I was like, why can't I? I want to be able to, I had a small worldview. I wanted to be able to get a college degree and go back to my small hometown. And didn't do that. I went to work in the state capitol when I, after I finished my degree. But I'm still trying to figure out, why do we keep telling ourselves that? How do we get out of that, Neil? Just tell me now. How do we get out of that?
Well, I guess, how do we break? I mean, in your case, perhaps being typically being clueless isn't a virtue, but I guess in your case, it actually worked out in your favor.
Yeah.
So maybe the solution is for more of us Black people to be clueless like you were, and not think that there are careers that are off limits to them just because of our skin color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wasn't very strong in math at the very beginning. I was being pushed. My dad was like, "Yeah, you're gonna do this, or you're just gonna sit at that kitchen table until you get it right. Yeah, you can cry. So sad. Too bad. You just sit there and do it." So where can our listeners find your book?
They can go to askuncleneil.com.
Mm-hmm. Great. Is there anything else you want to add?
Well, there's one thing. Oftentimes I hear the saying that you have to see it to believe it. And whenever I hear that saying, it kind of rubs me the wrong way, because at least how I hear it, it's if you're a Black person and you don't see another Black person doing something that you want to do, then you don't think that you can do it. And that's really a detrimental mindset to have. Because honestly, if you see somebody of any color or gender or any, I guess, appearance doing something that you want to do, please believe that you can do it too. I didn't have any. I mean, I had a father that said I should go into engineering, but I didn't have any engineers in my immediate family or that I knew of at the time. I did find out later on that I had an uncle who's an engineer, but I didn't know that then. But I saw other people that weren't Black doing things and in engineering and doing well. And it never occurred to me, and hopefully it doesn't occur to others. And if it does, please stop it. That because they look differently than you do, that means that you can't do what they do. So I really don't like that saying, you have to see it to believe it, at least in the sense that if you don't see another Black person doing it, then you can't do it. Because if you don't see that person, then what does that mean? You're waiting to see that person? And what if that person never shows up? Does that mean, why can't you be the trailblazer? You could be that first person.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like that phrase either. Or all your STEM role models need to look like you. That can be in some cases, but not in every case. But yeah, then where does that leave you if you're only waiting for somebody who looks like you? Exactly what you're saying. Yeah, it's frustrating. So we've got some work to do, Neil. Thank you for what you have been doing with Teach the Geek and what you are starting to do with Ask Uncle Neil. I think these are great resources for our listeners. And I just wanted to say thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Linda. And thank you for having me on your podcast.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoyed my talk with Neil. I'm looking over at your notes. You got a lot. You usually have a lot of notes. I just wing it.
I have some notes.
And you take notes. So what's the first thing on your list?
What was interesting was this idea that you have to see it. What was the term he said? You have to
see it to believe it.
See it to believe it. And so many of us see ourselves as engineers because we're good in some aspect of being an engineer. I'm good at math. I'm able to solve problems. I've had experiences. So I'm able to see it because I've seen me do things in the past. That means I can see me doing it as an engineer.
That's metacognition.
Metacognition. Or the other thing is, I see other people that look like me, therefore I think I can pursue that same field of study.
Yeah, and that plays into it. But as you heard from his interview, he didn't like that. He felt like people were using that as, I don't know, hopefully I'm not putting words into his mouth, like a cop-out.
I don't think it was a cop-out. Sometimes we don't know what we don't know. And the idea that we're not pursuing STEM because we don't know that this is something that's really exciting. One of your former guests talked about her experience in the Peace Corps. She didn't know until she went away and learned and experienced. And sometimes I will call that a cop-out because that's the part of summer programs. That's a part of all these different programs.
Yeah, and
you want to get people to see.
Yeah, you don't know until you experience
it.
But in today's day and time, Claude, with the internet and media and we've got the world in our palm, more or less. We can't say we don't know what engineers are.
Well, I'm not saying about not knowing what engineers are. I'm saying not necessarily knowing where you fit as an engineer in terms of the experience of what you're able to bring or gain or learn or do as an engineer.
But I guess he was getting at the whole mentality, because I don't see a black astronaut, then that means I can't be a black astronaut. You know, I don't see a black fashion designer, so I can't be a fashion designer if I'm a black kid. He was pushing against that as an excuse, as an out. Why can't you be the first one? Why are you waiting for an implicit mission from society or from culture, popular culture? Whereas in other worlds, in other realms, we don't wait. As black culture, we don't wait for somebody to say, yeah, you can be the next black food truck owner.
He didn't have to see to do what he did.
I didn't either. And that's why I agree with him. But I guess you're of the other camp.
No, I'm not.
They have to be able to see themselves in doing
it. To sort of get more people to be seen. Maybe I am to a small degree. I think the challenge is because you don't know, how do you decide whether this is something for you? I didn't know what it meant to be an engineer or a computer. I just knew that I was great in math. I felt good and confident in math.
You had guidance counselors telling you to go this way.
No, I didn't.
Oh, I thought so.
No, I didn't. I simply chose engineering because it sounded cool. We didn't have those programs.
You're going to get lots of girls and dates.
No. The girls was for math, but it didn't work out in high school. But the reality is that this math, because I felt good about my math skills, I felt that I can be an engineer. I didn't fully understand all that was involved in being an engineer. So technically, I was one of the ones who didn't really see, but did. But I did see to a small degree because of parts of being an engineer, which is the computational side of things.
Yeah, you enjoy math.
I enjoy math.
That was validating.
Enjoy solving problems.
Yeah, I've seen you just sit around solving problems. It's like, what's wrong with my husband? He's bored.
Oh my gosh. So I guess I'm a geek. Geeks are cool now. Right?
Yeah. You're right. Geeks are cool now.
The other point that was powerful was no careers are off limits.
Yeah.
Which stood out. And, you know, he had a lot of great quotes. You know, innovation is the future. Black people should feel like they could be a part of that innovation. And so, but this still goes back to the seeing, whether we are putting things in place for people to gain that.
But, I mean, he had an example of, blacks have invented the ironing board, the gas mask, the super soaker. I mean, all these things that we see, Black History Month. And you're still saying, I can't see myself in that because I don't have a black role model. Come on, Claude.
In my experience, many role models weren't necessarily the people that looked like me. They were the people that I had relationship with or were willing to invite me to be a part of their lives. So I guess I call them more mentors. And so those people sort of made a difference.
All right, Dr. Claude, thank you for sharing from your notes.
Stirring things up, right?
No, not stirring things up. Sharing from your depth and breadth of experience. So that's our show for today. That's the episode's a wrap. Thanks for listening. Thank you also for visiting our website, idreamstem.org, to see resources for parents and how they can encourage their kids toward science, technology, engineering, and math careers and get on that STEM pipeline. Also, thank you to our sponsor, Wildlands Engineering. If you would like to join us and be a sponsor, drop us a line. If you would also like to be on the podcast, drop us a line at our website. You can find us also on Instagram and on Facebook.